Let me encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. Now, if you don't know where that is, because I would not have it committed in memory, never having had the opportunity to learn the books of the Bible, it's between Judges and Samuel. Most of us can find Judges, so it's right after Judges. I would like to mention, while you're turning there, one of the things that we sort of subconsciously do around here is that those of us who have gardens always have an overrun. And I don't know that we've ever identified this, but if you have an overrun, there's a pew outside that door right there. And if you'll bring it and put it there, those who might be short on something that is garden stuff can help themselves to it. We got cucumbers coming out of our ears right now. So there's a basket of cucumbers out there if you'd like one, help yourself. And that way we can share with one another. This is a wonderful story this morning. It's a story that I think rivals any soap opera you can watch. I think it's important to understand that the book of Ruth is an amazing story of love. It's also a story that helps us understand something about how God works in our lives. What purpose we have in our existence. How God offers solutions to tough times. The word redeem is used 20 times in this book. It talks about redemption. If you look at the first chapter of the book of Ruth, you'll see that it talks about an Israelite by the name of Elimelech. He moves to a country called Moab. Moab was the son of Lot, by Lot's incestuous relationship with his daughter, Genesis 19, verse 37. It was located north and east of the Dead Sea. It was a society like ours, not very religious. A lot of people that ridiculed religion. A lot of people who had idols that were mechanical things, physical things, including the worship of sex. But it was a place that had some prosperity, some natural resources. And so Elimelech moves there with his wife Naomi and with his two sons, their two sons. The two sons marry to Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. But then Elimelech dies. And shortly after that, his two sons die. This is the ultimate tragedy for a woman at that time. Let me mention to you that in class today, we spent an hour talking about Israelite culture, about how people lived at that time. We have recorded that. Carl will have it posted on our website if you'd like to study that. The purpose of that was to shorten our time here in our sermon because there's so much to learn about how women were viewed in that culture. How they were objects. How they were pawns. Things that were used. And when a woman had her husband die and her sons die, she had no means of support. Her money was gone. She couldn't gain money off her property. She couldn't gain money by doing anything in the commercial sense. This was the ultimate tragedy. And it's kind of interesting that in the process of this discussion, when the two sons die and there is no means of support, Naomi has very little choice but to go back to Bethlehem where she's from and see if she can find a relative who will help her. What she tries to do is to get her daughter-in-laws to do the same. In Ruth 1 and verse 9, she says to them, "Go and find rest in the home of another husband." That's how women survived at that time. They married. Their husbands took care of them. And if they didn't, they were in serious difficulty. So what do you do when everything goes wrong? Ever have that happen in life? Well, the first thing she tries to do is to get rid of her responsibilities. So she tries to send her two daughters away. Verse 11 of chapter 1, Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. And even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." That's her view. The next verse, verse 14 says, "And at this they wept together again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye." So Orpah goes back to her family. Naomi is left with this terrible situation. But to her frustration, she has this daughter-in-law who won't leave. As a matter of fact, the statement that Ruth makes, which most of us have heard, it's been in some popular songs, which is in Ruth 1 and verse 16. "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." I've heard that used in weddings. It's a beautiful statement of love. And I would suggest to you it was God's gift to Naomi. She didn't realize it at the time. You read on in the second chapter in verse 20, she says, "The Lord has not stopped showing me His kindness." She eventually recognized this blessing from God. But as they journey to Bethlehem in verse 20, Naomi says, "Call me Mara." That means bitter in the original language. Bitter, because God has brought bitterness to life. That's the setting. That's the pain. You ever been in life where you were bitter? Ever been in circumstances where it just seemed nothing went right? Where everything was bad? Most of us have been there, one way or another, to one extent or another. It can be when death has taken a loved one. It can be when we have suffered financial reversals. It can be when people have let us down. You can quit. You can give up. Or you can do what Naomi does. Naomi tackles life. She goes back to Bethlehem, back to her roots. And she takes this daughter-in-law that she tried to get to leave her. This daughter-in-law that turns out to be God's blessing to her. She takes her along, I think probably at the time thinking, how am I going to manage this? I've got this daughter-in-law to take care of. What happens when they get home and they get back to Bethlehem is that Ruth offers to scavenge the crops around them so that they can eat. I mean, that's how desperate this situation is. Ruth 2 and verse 2. "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.'" You know, that's dangerous. That's a dangerous thing to do. We talked in class about all the sexual things that were part of the old law and what a risk it was to women at this time to be separated like that. This is a foreign woman in a field with farmhands. You ever work with farmhands? You ever been around a bunch of guys with no accountability? It's dangerous. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting that later on in Ruth 2 and verse 9, "Let your eyes be on the field we are reaping. I have charged the young man not to touch you. And when you are thirsty, to drink what the young man had drawn." That's the guy that owns the field where she ends up. It's dangerous. In verse 29 of the second chapter, Naomi says, I worried that you might be harmed. It was dangerous. What happens, however, is that in God's providence, and I believe God was the one working here, it turns out that Boaz is related to Naomi. And so she ends up with a kinsman, someone who has legal connections to her mother-in-law. God sent her to the right place. Can you relate to that? I think God puts us in the right place. Many times we have a tendency to go where we think things are going to be better. Usually they're better at home. It's kind of interesting in the New Testament that Paul decided to go to Spain. That's Romans 15 and verse 24. We don't know that he ever got there. What we do know is that he says in Acts 16 and verse 6, I was kept from preaching in Asia by the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes we say, well, we're going to do thus and so, and we got a big plan. And God has a better plan. And so what happens here is that she ends up in the field of someone that God has apparently led her to, a man by the name of Boaz. And in reality, Boaz is the hero of this story. Boaz finds out who Ruth is and what she has done. In Ruth 2 and verse 11, I have been told about you and what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge. Have you gotten to the point where you're taking refuge in God? Where do you take refuge? Where do you look for answers? When your world caves in on you, when things collapse, where do you go? Boaz says, you're a woman who has the kind of strength that you turn to God for your refuge. And Boaz, a man of great character, a man of great morals, takes care of Ruth's needs. What's interesting is that it is Ruth's character that leads her to this relationship with Boaz. Ruth doesn't violate her morals, and Boaz notices. Young ladies, middle-aged ladies, old ladies, let me tell you something. Men notice your morals. Men pay attention to what your dress says, what your talk says, what you are conveying in the way you carry yourself, what you laugh at, where you spend your time. Boaz says to Ruth in Ruth 3 verse 10, you have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. All my townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Men want to marry a woman of noble character. They don't want to take advantage of a woman of less than moral character, of noble character, but they notice it. And it's so important to understand that at the time in which this story is couched, women had two ways to survive. One was prostitution, the other was to find a man who would care for her and build a family with her. You wonder why things are so different today? Young ladies, it's different because of Jesus Christ. Only Christ said that women are worth something. Only Christ taught that women are human beings who have rights. Only Christ gave women dignity and character, included them in His workings and His plans. We'll talk about that more in a couple of minutes because there's so many examples. But what attracted Boaz to Ruth was her character. So Boaz does everything local custom demands. In our class this morning, we talked about what the kinsman was. and the rule of property. It's in Ruth 4. You can read about how Boaz jumps through hoops. But there were a set of rules that you had to follow. If you were going to marry a woman, you had some rules to follow. If you were going to acquire property, you had some rules to follow. And that's true of us today. Romans 13, verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We obey the law. God commands us to be in submission to civil rule. We do it God's way first, but we do it man's way in the traditions and the culture in which we live. So what happens is that Boaz honors Ruth's dead husband. If you read verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4, Boaz says to the local people who control customs, the Lord make the woman that has come into your house like Rachel and Leah, like the two who did build the house of Israel. And you do worthily in Ephrathah and are famous in Bethlehem. Let your house be like the house of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah, of the offspring which the Lord will give you of this young woman. This is the effect that Ruth's life and her character and Boaz's relationship to her had upon the people around them. And in this, Naomi is given new life in the community. If you look at chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, the women in the community say, blessed be the Lord that has not left you this day without family, and that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be a restorer of your life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law loves you better than seven sons. You know, sometimes family is not where the answer is. Sometimes your son is not the one that's going to benefit you. Sometimes people who should be taking care of you because they are relatives won't. And when that happens, God provides others. In Naomi's case, it was Ruth. The Bible says in that verse next, again, we're still in verses 14 on of the fourth chapter, Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became a nurse to it. And the neighbors gave it a name, saying, this is the son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. That word Obed means serving. So the women gave a name to the child, the child's role, the child's purpose, the child's direction in life. And it goes on in the Bible and says, this is the father of Jesse, the father of David. I want you to notice a couple of things here. I want you to notice, number one, the role of women. It's important to understand that we need Ruths in today's world. We need Ruths in the church. This story began with one woman, Ruth. She was a woman who was loyal. She was a woman who was loving. She was a woman who was obedient. She was a woman who affected change. Without immorality, without compromise. It's also interesting as you study Ruth's character and her life that what she portrays to us is what God wants women to be today. Titus 2, beginning with verse 3, aged women be in behavior as becomes a woman of holiness, not an accuser, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things. The need to teach younger women to be sober, to love their husband. You realize the importance of teaching women to love their husband? You say, well, that should be easy. That comes naturally. It's not talking about sexual love. It's talking about love that actually supports, that actually builds. It's talking about being able to be a product of good in the culture around us. That's something you have to learn. Because selfishness is so strong, and our society pushes us to look after number one. Teach them to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober, to be discreet, to be chaste, and managers of the home. It's important that people understand that they function within the laws and the traditions of the culture. But it's also important to understand that throughout the New Testament, it was women who made change work. women like Ruth. It was women who came to the tomb. The church met in the home of Lydia in Acts 16 and verse 40. Women have been the foundation of faith in so many kids. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in you which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 2, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche who labored with me in the gospel. I don't know where this congregation would be without women. I have no idea how we would be functioning in this community as we are were it not for the fact that we have women who will unselfishly and with great energy and with great enthusiasm work to serve the Lord. Sometimes women's roles are not that clear. I want to share something with you that happened to Cindy and I on this last trip that may give you a little picture of this. I've told you that when Phyllis died, I was to the point of just not caring whether I lived or not, thinking my ministry was over, even telling God to get me out of here. There were a number of things that happened during that time. I didn't know why they happened. But in the process of our trip this last time, we stopped and visited a lady who has been very much of a supporter of our work, a lady by the name of Charles C. Ford. Some of you probably recognize that name because she's the author of a number of our children's books, which we have used here for quite a period of time. I had not really heard any story from Charles C. about her association with Phyllis. I knew that many years ago, actually, it would have been about 2006, if my memory serves me correctly, she and her husband Roy stopped in our place at Niles. She and her husband came to visit. They were going somewhere else. And I knew Charles C. was acting kind of funny. And I knew Phyllis was acting kind of funny, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And finally, Phyllis said to me, John, see if you can't get them to spend the night. I want to talk to Charles C. Okay. So I told Charles C. and Roy, I want you to stay with us. Please stay with us. We've got a bedroom heck here we're not using. There's a bathroom. You've been traveling. Spend some time with us. So they agreed to do that. Roy and I went in and watched a football game. Charles C. went back. Phyllis was in bed at that point. It was when she was pretty much non-ambulatory. And they were in there about 4 hours. And I thought maybe they'd both fallen asleep. But when I finally knocked on the door when the game was over, they're still chattering away there. Roy and I went for a walk. Well, I hadn't really thought much about it after that happened. But when we got to Charles's this time, Charles said, I want to talk to Cindy. I said, okay. And I found out later what happened was that Charles shared with Cindy that what Phyllis had done was to take her and say to her, Charles, I'm going to die. This was 2 years before Phil actually died. And I want you to help John find someone because he won't do well on his own. I had never heard that story. I had no idea. And I don't have to tell you, because you've watched it happen, how much Cindy has changed my life in such a positive way. But look what women do. Look how our ministry has continued. The things that I had planned to stop, I look at what's happening right now. Yesterday I was in conversation with Joshua Markham in Ecuador. Our materials are going into Spanish now. That's something I would never have dreamed possible. It's in 6 countries in South America. That was work that would never have happened. God works through women. And Ruth is the classic example of how God, even back in the Old Testament, worked to provide Ruth with a ministry. No, she wasn't a big preacher. No, she wasn't a prophet. No, she wasn't a great political leader. She was a woman of character. She was a woman who, when God opened a door, was willing to go through that door. She was willing to take on a difficult situation and a difficult culture at a difficult time and make her life count. And I would challenge women today, and especially our young women today, make your life count. God has given you great potential, great tools. Jesus Christ has given you a platform to work on that was not available to women like Ruth. So you can do so much more. So many great things. I hope as we eat today and fellowship, as we spend time together, that we will talk more and more about what we can do. You know, we've made some pretty good progress. I look out the window back there. I see the play area. I watch a whole string of kids go downstairs. I see and hear the joy of voices. I find time when we're talking to some women in the congregation who are dealing with incredible problems in kids and in relatives. And I see that, you know, a huge percentage of our really good work is being done by the women of this congregation. We have a lot of Ruths here who don't serve for personal gain, but who have incredible talent, who are being used in God in incredible ways. I didn't ask Richard to lead that song that we sang right before this lesson, "I Know the Lord Will Find a Way for Me." That's a wonderful song, because God will find a way for you. And you young ladies especially, God will find a way for you. God has a job for you to do. God has blessed some of you with incredible talent. Use it to God's service. Use it in the special ways that God has given you the capacity to use it in. And help us all as a congregation to recognize the great tools that God has given us and the talented women that are among us. But young ladies and older men, Ruth was one who came to know God, and you need to know God. You need to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian, God can't use you. God can't include you in the plans that He has for the future. And if you haven't seen purpose and direction in your life, God needs you to open up to Him, to take Him into your life, to obey Him, to become a Christian, to turn away from the world and the standards around us. We call that repentance, and to live in a way that is constructive and positive and open to God's hands. And if you need God's help in special ways, if we can pray with you, we want to do that. Be a Ruth. Be used as God has called you, as He called Ruth. If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, we encourage you to come. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?